When someone in your family is going through depression, it's hard to know what to say, and I said everything wrong. I'm Sam. Our family went through it, and I just kept saying, come on, let's get it together. The thing I should have been saying is, let's get you to the center, a place of hope. It's a place for you or a place for someone you love who's struggling with depression, anxiety, trauma, eating disorders. So many success stories. It's personal to me. They've actually saved the lives of people I love. If you felt like, I don't know what to do to dig out of this really dark place, and you've tried everything and you can't think of what to do next, make a phone call right now. Call the Center, a Place of Hope.
Hey, this is Dr. Tim Clinton, president of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you or someone you love is in a tough spot, stuck, maybe in need of serious help, someone to talk to, you need somebody, I want you to write down this number for the Center, a Place of Hope. The number is 888-726-8125. That number again, 888-726-8125. I think if you write that number down, you're going to be glad you did. I have referred a number of people, a great number of people, to this ministry for special mental health care. They're outstanding. I can give them highest praise. That number again, 888-726-8125. Speak to our colleagues, the admissions team at the Center, a Place of Hope. Asking for help is hard. Finding help shouldn't be, especially Christ-centered help. Our friends at A Place for Hope, they're here to help. I hope you'll call today, and may God bless you.
Welcome to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. And on behalf of our hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, thanks for listening. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help AACC equip the church and provide Christian mental health care to those in need, visit AACCFoundation.org to donate. Your gift will ensure that this program and your station remain on the air. Now, let's join our host, Zach Clinton.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back into Life, Love, Faith, and Family. I'll be your host today, Zach Clinton. And you know, as we begin our time together today, there's no question that we find ourselves in some challenging, difficult, dark, and unprecedented times. From gun violence, leftism, postmodernistic thinking, people drifting away from the church, the concern for our youth and the next generation, it's been a tough go. Yet one thing we do know is that there is hope, and it would appear that there seems to be a stirring, a shaking, an awakening within the church. Therefore, today, as we discuss the spiritual climate in America, as well as how we can best walk alongside and equip our youth and next generation, we have an incredibly special guest joining us who is a dear friend of our ministry, Alex McFarland. As a Christian apologist, author, evangelist, religion and culture analyst, and advocate for biblical truth, Alex McFarland speaks worldwide. He's preached in over 2,200 churches throughout North America and numerous more internationally. He also speaks at Christian events, conferences, debates, and other venues to teach biblical truths and to preach the gospel. Ultimately, Alex's life mission is twofold: to know God and to make his name known. Alex, my friend, thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, thank you for having me. I have such a respect for your family and the ministries that you guys engage in. And I have to tell you, I am so impressed with you, Zach. You and I have been talking, you know, pre-show, and you prayed for us. And man, it blesses my heart to see someone of your caliber that loves the Lord Jesus, committed to Christ, and doing such an excellent job broadcasting and proclaiming truth that I'm just very privileged to know you, Zach.
You know, Alex, that means a lot to me. I know my dad, Dr. Tim Clinton, has such an affinity and a love and appreciation for you and what you mean to him and all of us and our entire family and our whole team here at LLFF. But I sincerely look up to you as well, my friend, because you're someone who I believe has a finger on the pulse of not just the climate, but also the culture that we live in here in America today. You do incredible work, especially through the Alex McFarland Ministries. But I want you, as we start here, Alex, what you kind of do is you exist to educate, to equip, to empower, and to encourage the Big C Church for such a time as this. Share with us, though, in our audience, a little bit more about what you guys are doing and what God has afforded you the opportunities to do throughout the years.
Well, thanks. You know, I got saved when I was 21 years old, and really, just by the grace of God, got immersed in, well, the Bible, reading God's Word, but biblical worldview. And Zach, my life was shaped by some people like Josh McDowell and Chuck Colson and then James Dobson. And I just began to read a lot of these great leaders and went to Liberty University, ultimately did 3 degrees at Liberty, an undergrad and 2 masters. And while I was there, I was a youth pastor, and I began back in my home state of North Carolina to rent the local Coliseum. And it's pretty wild. You know, I've been shaped by a lot of my spiritual heroes. And Josh McDowell, I just wanted to meet Josh McDowell. And so we brought him to Greensboro. We brought in bands like Point of Grace and Avalon and things like that. And so we grew this youth ministry that was evangelistic, but it was biblical worldview, really to disciple kids in the Word of God, and then God's plan for their life. And Zach, I believe God has a plan for every life. And number one, the plan of God is that we would have a relationship with Jesus. We would put our faith in Christ and be born again. But I also believe that everybody has a role to play in family. And I tell young men that the second greatest gift God will ever give you, second only to salvation, the second greatest gift is a Christian wife. And a big part of our core message is family and marriage and commitment, and then bringing up children in the ways of God. Now, all of that to say this, now really 26 years into the ministry that we do, we now have 16 employees, and I give God the glory. That's a small ministry, I suppose, but it's bigger than I ever thought we would get. And we do events, publishing, and broadcasting. We do 7 youth camps every summer, 1,200 teenagers, middle school, high school. And we're in places like Montana. And we get kids out of the city. We get them out to ride horses and see God's creation. And then we tell them about Jesus. And I'm on the road speaking, broadcasting, hanging out with great people like yourself. But, you know, we're just evangelists and disciplers and trying to, you know, fulfill the Great Commission in our little corner of the world that God has entrusted to us.
It's incredible what God is doing in and through you, my friend, and we're so grateful for you. You really stand for all of the pillars that we stand for here at Life, Love, Faith, and Family. And you alluded to a lot of our conversation today. We're going to be talking about worldview. We're going to be talking about truth. We're going to be talking about family and so much more. But, you know, as I kind of already mentioned up front as well, Alex, it's been a tough go these last several years. We continue to see devastating events unfold all throughout the country on what seems like a daily basis. People are hurting, especially our kids in this next generation. That's why I have such a deep affinity for what you do. Just last week, Laura Ingraham for Fox News voiced her concern specifically as it relates to our youth, from leftism, she said, to youth violence, to the youth mental health disaster we're seeing, statistics continuing to reveal that this next generation seems to be walking and drifting away from the faith. I mean, there's so much going on, and I think it's causing a lot of people, a lot of parents, to ask the questions, Alex, are we losing our kids? What's actually happening here? As you continue invest a lot of time, attention, and effort into the lives of this next generation. You host a lot of camps, as you mentioned. You host a lot of conferences. What are you seeing and what are you hearing from America's youth and teens, my friend?
Well, Zach, I'm encouraged. Believe it or not, I really am encouraged. Let me lay out some dynamics that I think have shaped the Western world and America over the last couple of decades. All right, for centuries, the West and certainly the United States was what we would call a familial culture, the center of people's lives, the beginning point, and really the stable foundation was the family. Now, here's the thing. All human beings, emotionally, psychologically, we quest after acceptance, significance, and security. You know, it's interesting. Acceptance is the question, do I fit in? And significance, do I matter? Do I matter to anybody? And security, am I safe? And even if we're not really conscious of it, we will pursue after these things. we want to try. Generally, people want to feel like they fit in and they belong. And there's a real sense of identity. Okay, here's where I fit in. Here's what I'm good at. Here are my competencies. And as we go through childhood to pre-adolescence and then late adolescence, we really kind of define ourselves by our strengths. I mean, some people are good in sports. Some people are good in academics or music. And then we find our niche, right? Well, we have kind of moved from a familial culture to a tribal culture. Zach, a couple of years ago, I was at Oklahoma State University, and there was a panel discussion. And then after that, about 3 years ago, I was at the University of Kentucky Medical School at Louisville, and there was a consortium on what does it mean to be a human being. And, you know, thankfully, because one of the degrees I did at Liberty was in philosophy of religion, and I found myself at a medical school, not as a preacher or evangelist, but as a philosopher talking about what is a human being. Now, here's my point. When we don't have acceptance, significance, and security, we have a safety net that we could always fall back on. It's the family. In the home, we have unconditional love. And, you know, even if the world kind of kicks you to the curb, you know, you can always go back and you've got mom and dad, you've got family. Well, over the last couple of decades, the family, as you know, the family has kind of weakened and eroded. And we've gone to what we would call a tribal culture. Well, you might call it a clique or the hood or whatever, but your tribe is that group, your affinity group, or maybe your friends, but you find acceptance, significance, security in the tribe. Now, here's the deal, though. Whereas the family was characterized by unconditional love, or at least it should be, this is why kids will do things that are destructive, at risk. Even maybe a child that professes to be a Christian will do things that deep down they know aren't right with God's word, because the core value, the core motivation is you do not want to lose your standing in the tribe. Man, to be unfriended or canceled is like to have no landing point whatsoever. What am I saying? I'm saying that as the family has broken down, as so many young people will never live under the same roof with their biological mother and dad, there's a crisis of identity. I mean, a lot of young people, not all, but many young people, they don't really know who they are. They don't know why they're here. They don't sense purpose. And it's sad enough when we don't feel like we can depend on mother and dad. We don't feel like we have that safety net of the home. But many young people, they don't know who God is. What we're trying to do is challenge a generation of young people that your life does matter. You can begin to find acceptance, significance, security. And maybe your home life wasn't what you needed, but there is the family of God. And then we're challenging kids, Zach, to start fresh with a clean sheet of paper and build family. And, you know, Zach, let me say this. Number one, I tell people about Jesus. That's my calling. But if there's anything that I've become passionate about, and we've raised two adopted kids and then helped raise a lot of others, but I am passionate more than ever about family. But, Zach, if there's anything that is going to restore our nation plus contribute to the fulfillment of the Great Commission, it's to become a champion for the Christian home. And that's the message we're telling young people.
You know, Alex, what I love about your heart, and as you talk about the familial aspects and the understanding of what we need to get back to as a culture and society today, is just this reality that oftentimes families, unfortunately, they begin to reproduce themselves. That can be unfortunate or fortunate, right? If you come from a good home, like you said, with good, God-loving, God-fearing parents, that can be a really good thing to reproduce that within your home, within your life. But if you come from the opposite end of the spectrum where things are challenging and things are hard and maybe home life is a disaster. That's the last thing we want to reproduce. And so something that you and I both share is not just the common love and affinity for this next generation and investing in their lives, but also investing in the lives of men, of husbands, and of fathers. And I think that is so important, and that's a word that we need to get back to again for such a time as this, because I think of the word legacy, Alex. Legacy, one of the greatest definitions I've ever heard. It's not just something you leave behind for someone. It's something you leave behind in someone. Speak to a dad. Speak to a husband out there that is listening and tuning in today about the importance of what it would mean and what it looks like to live out as an authentic disciple of Christ, so that way they can leave a godly legacy on their family for the days ahead.
Well, Zach, that's an awesome question. And let me just say that as a pastor, because in addition to working with some parachurch ministries, building a parachurch ministry of our own, and teaching, I've been adjunct at Liberty University and a number of Christian colleges, but I've also been a pastor. In fact, spent a total of, 21 years in the local church pastorate. And here's my point. Men, listen up. As a pastor, you spend a lot of time at the hospital. And not to be morbid or anything, but it's just part of, it's an occupational hazard. You're going to be at the ER at 2 in the morning. Zach, here's my point. I have been at the bedside of a lot of dying saints and a lot of men. And I've never been in, you know, with some man in the final moments of the fourth quarter, shall we say. And they say, I should have worked more at the office. If only I had spent more time at the office. No, look, I'm telling you guys, when you're about to leave this world, all you're going to care about is God and family. Seriously. And I say this having, I just did a funeral about a week ago. Here's my point. When you are on your deathbed, men, all that is going to matter is the Lord and your loved ones. And I understand we have work, we have hobbies, there's a lot of things, but I'll put it this way. Lose at anything else but win with your family. And your legacy, like you said so well, Zach, you know, it's what you leave for people, but what you really impart within people. The greatest thing, more than any other achievement, the greatest thing is to know that you were a disciple of Christ, and the closest human relationships, your spouse and your kids, they knew that you were authentic. Zach, it's funny, as you and I were prepping this morning to record, I was wrapping up a phone call with a church that reached out to me, I've been privileged to counsel and consult for a lot of churches. There was a church, and one of their deacons passed away and left behind. This is a true story. I mean, this deacon had been stealing money from the church's checking account and had racked up over $40,000 in online porn charges. Died very unexpectedly of a heart attack. And so here's this guy, this pillar of the community. And after he's passed away, much to everybody's horror, he had a very unspeakably evil double life going on. Now, think about how crushed his wife and kids and all the fellow church members that thought they knew this guy. Men, just make a decision now that you're not going to dishonor the Lord that way. You're not going to break the hearts of your loved ones left behind. The greatest thing we could ever do, more than money or wealth or anything, is that great riches that those whose lives we touched, they truly did see Jesus Christ in our life. So make that decision now, that your legacy will be, I was a disciple and I influenced people for Jesus Christ, not away from Jesus Christ. I've heard too many horror stories. And I just pray that in this generation and in all of our lives, the negative witness will stop and the positive legacy will begin.
I love what you said. Fail at anything else, but win with your family. That's a profound word, my friend. And I think that's the legacy that we want all of our listeners to begin creating within their own lives and within their own homes and within their own families. Alex, you know, as we've touched on family, now I kind of want to introduce this concept of worldview, which I know you're incredibly passionate about. My dad and I have had several conversations actually recently about that we're living in a time where biblical illiteracy is consuming us, right? We just simply don't know truth. I've heard you say that we're in a crisis of truth, which has brought on a crisis of identity. Alex, as we begin this concept and this conversation of worldview, what do you mean by what you just said, that we are in a time of a crisis of truth, which has led to, again, a crisis of identity?
Worldview is, you know, it's interesting. You know, 20 years ago, 25 years ago, the term worldview, if it was used at all, was largely used in Christian circles, where maybe scholars would talk about a biblically informed worldview versus, you know, maybe the Islamic worldview or the secular worldview. Now you hear it in the news a lot. And that's good, actually, because people are beginning to understand that really there are core assumptions that shape your beliefs and behavior. So your worldview is like the lens through which you see life. A biblical worldview assumes, okay, there is a God. God created me. I'm accountable to God. There are rights and wrongs. There's morals and morality. Flows out of the nature of God. God is righteous. There are things that are morally right and true. There are things that are immoral and wrong. And then there's salvation, and Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and he died on the cross, and I become right with God, forgiven, saved, born again by putting my faith in Jesus. When we deviate from God's revealed plan, we get into trouble. See, the Bible is God's authority, and we are to live by God's revealed truth. And I think that's a commitment we have to reinvest ourselves in every day. We wake up, yes, praise God, another day. I will live as Christ's follower today, and his word will shape my priorities, my decisions, how I act, how I react. Zach, if we live under a biblical worldview, it will transform us personally, our families, our marriages, and ultimately our culture and world.
And as you're saying, Alex, I think that's the way in which we continually shape and we invest these type of biblical worldview concepts and principles into our next generation by loving the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and spirit, but also in loving our neighbor as ourselves. And it goes back to the mission in which I think you really live with, to know God, of course, but also to make his name known. Alex, my friend, I know we're kind of pressing short on time for day one of this program, but I would love for you to come back for day two to unpack some incredible resources that I think will help us to invest when it comes to these worldview concepts into our families and into our next generation. Would you join me again for day two?
What an honor. Thank you for inviting me, Zach.
Thank you so much, my friend. Hey, to all of our listeners again, thank you so much for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family. Be sure to join us tomorrow on part two or day two of this incredible program as we'll be unpacking some very vital resources for you and for your family in the days ahead.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help equip the church to provide Christian mental health care, visit aaccfoundation.org. Your donation ensures this program and your station stay on the air. On behalf of our co-hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, this is Jim Kress. We look forward to having you with us again next time. May God bless you.
If someone in your family has depression or anxiety, it's hard to know what to do. We went through that. I'm Sam. The center is a place of hope. Lives are being healed. God is changing families.
Coming to the center it's just life altering. My relationship with my husband, my relationship with my family.
Struggling to keep it all together, or no one knows, or you're hiding things, or you feel like you've hit some crisis.
It's amazing to think that there could be so much change.
Man, I'm so grateful for the center. It's so helpful for me, and I'm so hopeful.
The center, a place of hope. Call today. A lot of people are surprised that insurance can help cover this.
Dive in, give yourself all to it. Watch what happens.
Call the Center, a Place of Hope, right now.
Hey, this is Dr. Tim Clinton, president of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you or someone you love is in a tough spot, stuck, maybe in need of serious help, someone to talk to, you need somebody, I want you to write down this number for the Center, a Place of Hope. The number is 888-726-8125. That number again, 888-726-8125. I think if you write that number down, you're going to be glad you did. I have referred a great number of people to this ministry for special mental health care. They're outstanding. I can give them highest praise. That number again, 888-726-8125. Speak to our colleagues, the admissions team at the center. A Place of Hope. Asking for help is hard. Finding help shouldn't be, especially Christ-centered help. Our friends at A Place for Hope, they're here to help. I hope you'll call today, and may God bless you.